Midtown Manhattan, New York City, to the world. Tom Sullivan is on now.
So now is the operative word. Welcome to the Big Radio Show. Happy Tuesday to you on this 28th day of August, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan, and so I did. While we took the break, I looked in my phone and I found the Chinese lady. Yes. So the reason the mic was a little hot there, I had to kind of boost the mic a little bit so we could record it. But I have a question for you. So I hope that this lady is not using four-letter words. But is there anybody in the audience that speaks Chinese or whatever this is? And then the question is it Mandarin? Is it, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what kind of Chinese is. I think it's Chinese. But this is the lady that keeps leaving me voice messages. She not only calls my phone, but she does leave voicemails. And this is what she has to say.
您有一封紧急公文，拟逾期未领取。了解详情，请按九。了解详情，请按九。由人工为您说明。There
you go. I have no idea what we just played. I have no idea. So I went in. It was an 800 number. I went into the 800 number to find out if it was in any of these. I got a tweet earlier from use 800. Notes.com. So I went into 800notes.com, and there's a bunch of people that have posted saying, yeah, this is a call from DHL letting me know that a package has arrived, but nobody was home. Are they looking for an address? You're not giving these people an address, are you? It's anyway, so one person said, DHL, they called to say my package would be delivered the next day, not a fraud. Another person said fraud, real number is, and they put in a phone number pushing porn videos. So I put in that phone number, and that's the Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection. So see, I mean, who they use spoof numbers. So you call this government agency and say, yeah, I got a call from you. They're going to go, well, who called you? I don't know. So does anybody speak Chinese? If you know somebody that speaks Chinese, have them listen. We'll play it again. I don't know what it says. I mean, she keeps calling me. Maybe I won the Beijing lottery. Oh, okay. Can we translate something off of an audio soundbite? You don't think it's good enough quality? I don't know. I use the Google Translate, which I think is a great program. But I don't know if that's for speaking to somebody, right? I don't know if I can play. Let's see, under Google Translate. Yeah, you got to enter a text or you got to push the microphone and listen to what it says, but it's in my phone. Well, we'll try it. We'll see what it, I don't know what. I think I won the lottery in China. And she's calling and telling me I have to pick up my billions of yen or yuan before noon today or something. I don't know. Speaking of technology, if you have Alexa or you have Google Assistant, we are now available through those products. So if you want to listen to the show, just say, Alexa, open Tom Sullivan Show, or, hey, Google, talk to Tom Sullivan Show, and bingo, there we are. So hopefully you'll be able to use that. All right, let's get to this technology business, because this is more than I thought it would be. The president, you know, sometimes you go, is he serious or is he trying to change the conversation? Last week was not a good week for President Trump. Between Manafort and Michael Cohen, it just wasn't a good week. So is the president trying to say, look over here, let's stir up this controversy? He is very good at whether it's the NFL players taking a knee or some other social controversy. President Trump likes to jump right into the deep end of the pool on these things. So he puts out this tweet saying Google search results for, quote, Trump news, end quote, shows only the viewing, reporting of fake news media. In other words, they have it rigged for me and others so that almost all stories and news is bad. Fake CNN is prominent. Republican, conservative, and fair media is shut out. Illegal, question mark? 96% of results on Trump news are from national left-wing media. Very dangerous. Google and others are suppressing voices of conservatives and hiding information and news that is good. They are controlling what we see and cannot see. This is a very serious situation. Will be addressed. So my questions are multiple on this. What do you think of the president's tweet? Do you agree with him? Do you think that they are somehow suppressing the voices of conservatives? Do you think that they are controlling what we can see and what we can't see? Now, I have to, the first thought that comes to mind is he says, 96% of results are from national left-wing media. Well, Mr. President, I don't mean to be the one to remind you, but most of the media is left-wing media. So if you put a Google search in for Trump news, I did, and I'm going to do it again because I did it a few minutes ago, but let me just enter it again. Trump news, I'm using Google to search for Trump news. Try it on your computer. Try it on your phone. Put in Trump news and in Google and hit search. So up come, you know how they do the first parts are the videos and the tweets and all that sort of stuff. But get down to the news stories. The first news story I have is from money.cnn.com. Donald Trump slams Google search as rigged, even though it's not. That's from CNN. The next one is from just CNN.com. Debunking Donald Trump's latest conspiracy theory on Google. The next one, is from FoxNews.com. Talking about Tiger Woods' respect for the office. That's the third story from Fox News. The fourth story is from Washington Post saying Google gives Trump a look at reality. Trump doesn't like it. The fifth story is from abcnews.go.com about Hurricane Maria death toll. And the sixth story is from the Wall Street Journal, which is run by his buddy, Rupert Murdoch, saying Trump accuses Google of suppressing positive news about his something, something, something. So my question for you is, if you put that in, do you only get left, what did he call it? Go back to his tweet. That you only get national left-wing media. And he says it's very dangerous and says this will be addressed. So Larry Kudlow, I don't know why Kudlow's being asked to comment on this. He's the economics guy. But the Trump administration is, quote, taking a look at whether Google and its search engine should be regulated by the government, according to Larry Kudlow, the president's economic advisor. Outside the White House today. Kudlow said, we'll let you know we're taking a look at it. The announcement puts the search engine squarely in the White House's crosshairs amid wider allegations against the tech industry that it is systematically discriminating against conservatives, on social media and other platforms. So this was a pre-dawn tweet from the president. And Google, in a statement, said their searches are not politically biased. They say, we never rank search results to manipulate political sentiment. It all comes from Lou Dobbs' show last night on Fox Business, my old buddy Lou. And Lou aired an interview last night with Diamond and Silk, those two ladies, Lynette Hardaway and Rochelle Richardson. And they have long complained that their online videos are being suppressed. So Lynette Hardaway said, I'm not for big government, but I really do believe that the government should step in and really check this out. So the supervising, Google search results, they say, are affected not only by region, but also by your personal search history. It was unclear whether the president had Googled himself or whether he was referring to a recent piece in PJ Media alleging that 96% of Google search results for news about Trump were from left-leaning news organizations. Again, I go, well, that says then 96% of the news is from left-leaning news organizations. But I put it in, and I got the third story was Fox News. One, two, three, okay, I'll give CNN left, Washington Post left. ABC News, I don't know what you want to classify them. Wall Street Journal, sixth story. Then after that, New York Mag, The Atlantic, Vanity Fair. Next question is, should the government regulate search engines? You want the government involved. 855-295-6600. Diamond and Silk do. Do you? And do you believe what the president's saying about the bias? 855-295-6600. Short break. We'll be right back.
Connect and engage with Tom Sullivan. On air. Online. On demand.
So many times I talk about the fact that Donald Trump is his own political party. He's not really a conservative. He's not really a liberal. He's was a Democrat. Now he's a Republican. But he's got the Trump party. I mean, it's not traditional anything. And so when we had traditional parties elect presidents, I was going after Barack Obama up one side and down the other for his involvement with Solyndra, his involvement with General Motors, government involvement in private companies, I think is a bad prescription. But Donald Trump brings it to private businesses all the time. He promotes certain businesses. He belittles other businesses. So Google search is by far the biggest search engine. But if they start there, where are they going from there? Do you want the government involved? 855-295-6600. Max, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Yeah, so I don't agree with the assessment of everything that he tweeted, but he's not wrong at the same time. I couldn't recreate those things because, like the other articles have said, it's based on your individual usage.
Right.
And I'll even say that algorithms are treated differently based on what browser you use, whether or not you're in what is commonly called incognito mode, or if you're using a mobile device or a desktop or a whatever.
Yep.
And so
all that changes it.
He's
it?
Not wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the whole thing. He's not wrong, but it's it's kind of a needless fight. I mean, there's other options out there. You don't have to use Google or Bing. You can use something called DuckDuckGo, which I personally don't use. But the PJ Media article, her results that she was talking about and wrote about in there are based on usage probably coming from not just her computer and other IDs that they said they used, but, you know, just based on where they are geographically. And if you happen to be in Washington or Los Angeles or San Francisco, you're going to pull probably a far left of center, you know, sure, enclave of information. But just like you, when I do stuff, I see the whole spectrum because I don't know. I don't, and plus I treat everything with scrutiny anyway. So I'm hoping people are smarter than to just believe what they see at the first blush.
Well, the problem is if they don't show you something, I don't mind them showing me some, you know, lefty or righty article. My concern is, what are they not showing me in my search?
Right. But you know what? I think a lot of people also treat the variety with actual depth or breadth of content. When you think about it, you know, most of the media or news, it gets fed by these big players, whether you're looking at a local publication or a national one. I mean, you have feeds like AP and UPI that feed into it. You have Tribune News Service that does the same thing, and they all feed into things that everyone else uses, whether you're a local paper in the
Hills. Yeah, I know, but if you are a local paper in the middle of nowhere, if that gets linked to a Drudge Report, all of a sudden that's going to rank very high on your search because of the fact that it's got a million people searching for it or reading it. So
of course, but that's just revenue for the paper. If they've rehashed something that came through the news feed in the AP and they just happen to be the lucky lottery winner that ends up on a Drudge Report, that's no different than the original report that came out through the news service. I think the concerns that it's like you said, the majority of the media is already well left of center.
Yeah.
The platforms institutionally are left of center. Nobody argues that.
So no
but
surprise.
That doesn't change the reality of, right. No, so, I mean, yeah. He's kind of saying, yeah, and we still know what's going on better than most people out there because I treat everything accordingly. The information I get, I've been online long enough to treat everything with a little bit of cynicism before I draw any conclusions. But I don't see, like you said, I don't see an intervention as a solution to this. It would only make it worse.
You went by it pretty fast, but you talked about Bing. I never use Bing, but I put in Bing, and guess what? I got a bunch of different news stories. I mean, that's the thing. It's not the same as the Google search. My first story is from political.com, the second one from Huffington Post, the third from The Guardian, the fourth from DonaldTrumpNews.com, finally CNN, NBC, Fox News. So there's a couple of righties in there, but it's a whole different list depending, like you said, Max, depending upon what browser you use.
First Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are, and talking about whether or not search engines should be regulated, the government going after them. That's what the president kind of implied today. So I want to get to that, but I also want to go back to last hour where I was talking about the spam phone calls that I get, and one in particular that this Chinese lady keeps calling me, and I'm thinking I won the Beijing lottery, but I don't know it. So we asked for somebody who could understand what she's saying, and we have Jonathan from California that's on the line. But Jonathan, hold on just a second. Let's play the Chinese lady, what she keeps calling me about, and let's see what he can tell me about it.
您有一张紧急公文，拟逾期未领取。了解详情，请按九。了解详情，请按九。
There you go. There you go. All so, right. Jonathan, thank you. I'm told you're speak welcome. Fluent Mandarin, and that's what this is. Is that correct?
Yeah, this is definitely Mandarin. It's really funny because it's a super bad like recording, and then a few seconds in, the lady actually switches to, she says, "You are invited" in English, and then it switches right back to Mandarin again, and I was like, oh my goodness.
Oh, she did. I didn't hear that in English. Did I win the lottery, or what is she trying to get me to buy?
It's basically just saying it's about like the foreign Chinese people living in American, like the Bureau of like foreign like immigrants and things like that in China, and they're telling you that you have like a letter or something that you have to go pick up at like the Bureau, and then after that it goes on like, if you want to like pick it up, press 9, if you want to pick it up, press 9, something like that.
I heard her repeat something at the end, so she's telling me to press 9 if I want more information.
Yep. If you want to win the lottery or the Beijing lottery, you just press 9.
I'm going to press 9 next time she calls and find out what it is. So what's this bureau? Is it a Chinese government bureau?
I don't actually know if it exists, but I do know like there's a super large influx of, you know, Chinese immigrants here, so I think they're trying to probably get at that community or something to see if they can trick them into like, you know, seeing if they call the bureau to, you know, get their visa or something, or they have a thing that it's not processed yet, you know.
Well, I presumed it's just another scam call like all these others that you get, but I thought, well, they're targeting I feel bad because they're targeting the people like you said that are from China and are here, and they pick up the phone and they hear somebody speaking in their native language, they go, well, and then they start welcoming the call, which is...
You know, yeah, exactly. I asked my grandma, you know, and she told me of some friends. I just wanted to clarify what what they were saying on the phone.
Yeah.
But she's been saying that some of her friends, like, they get calls, like, of people pretending to be their children, and then their children are, you know, somewhere else in America or something like that. And then they're like, did you call me to tell me to give you money or something like that? And it's completely fake.
So interesting that you said you talked to your grandmother about that, because that is what I'm afraid of, is they've got that scam of your nephew or your grandson is in jail and being held, and he needs $5,000 bail money, and grandma, can you send it? And sadly,
grandma sends it. Yeah,
yeah,
it happens. Yeah.
So this is a scam call for maybe elderly Chinese.
It's quite possible, and you know, I feel like any Chinese that get the call, but I feel like I've received it so many times now. Even my boss has like told me about it, like. She's gotten the calls, and she's not Chinese, but we, like, everyone knows it's a scam by now.
You got that same call from the same lady speaking Chinese?
Not the same call, but I've definitely gotten, you know, random calls. It's a different message, too.
In
Chinese.
They just lucked out that you actually knew what they were saying, because I'm listening to this thing and go, I have no idea what this is about. I mean, they're playing the numbers. I mean, they probably make 10,000 calls a day. It's a machine doing it.
Exactly. And I have no idea, because, you know, I guess it's just like a mass calling type of scheme. I have no idea.
If you knock on enough doors, Jonathan, you will sell a vacuum, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
That's the old sales adage about just go out there and just keep knocking on enough doors. Interesting. Jonathan, thank you. I'll press 9 next time. See if I get somebody who can tell me how much money I won in the lottery. But I appreciate your call very, very much. Thank you. So there you go. Have you heard those? You've heard those about your nephew or your grandson is in jail being held. That's such a shame. Because, you know, that's one thing that I don't lay awake at night worrying about it, but I think about I've thought about it enough times that at some point, God willing, if you live long enough, and my mother and father both lived well into their 90s. My father was as sharp as a tack right to the day he died. My mother, not so much. So dementia set in the last year and a half, 2 years. So will you be a victim of Alzheimer's or dementia? And hopefully, if you are, somebody in your family will protect you. Because that's who they're looking for. They don't know. And that's fear is too strong of a word. But I think about that and I think, I hope I don't lose my mind. I know some of you think I already have. All right. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Regulating search engines. You want to do it? Let's talk to Dee Dee in Lathrop, California. Hello, Dee Dee.
Hi there.
Hi.
I don't know that I really want to... Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know that I really want to regulate it, but somebody seriously needs to look at how they're doing this. I went on and did the Trump search like you asked.
Yeah.
And the first thing I get is CNN, Mike Pence's spend to outlast Trump. My
right.
Second one is the New York Times. And get
yep.
this, it says, what if Trump did actually shoot someone on Fifth Avenue? That's a shocking title.
What else did you get? I mean, I'm wondering if where did they come from? Not the topics, but what were the sources of the first five or six that you got? Do you have it there in front of you?
Yeah, I do. It's CNN, the New York Times, and then another CNN Money, CNN.com, and then Fox News. And well, I don't ever search that. What I'm really worried about.
Yeah,
those are all, in my mind, trustworthy sources, whether they're left or right, they're trustworthy. What if I'm searching something about how to make my dog vomit because he ate a blood pressure pill or something? Anybody can write anything they want on the Internet, and you don't know who's trustworthy and
True.
Who's not. So
True.
I'm kind of assuming that Google is throwing out the best information, the most searched, the most trusted, and now I'm thinking, geez, probably not.
Well, how do they know?
I
mean, that's the other thing is, how does somebody at Google know how to make your dog vomit? I mean, I they just have to use a keyword, I would think,
I mean,
the billions of requests that they get every day.
I've written a book, and publishers used to really screen you. You had to show you had credentials, you had experience at the topic you were writing on, and
yeah.
then they would take a chance and let you write a book. But now anybody can write on there. How do you
yep.
know who to trust?
Yep. Well, that's a good lesson, though, Dee Dee. It's also a good reminder that we have to be very careful. But I appreciate your call. We got to be careful. We can't just believe it because we saw it on the Internet. You just can't. 855-295-6600. We will be right back.
Unpredictable. Unprecedented. Undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
Well, Mark Zuckerberg was right. I think he was trying to be kind and basically say, please don't be mean to me. But when he was testifying before Congress, he said, we need regulation. I don't know. I think he was just trying to basically get them to not beat him up any more than they already were. 855-295-6600. Dave in California. Dave, thank you for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi, Tom. Thank you
Hi.
For having me.
You bet.
What
you think?
What I'm talking about is this issue by Donald Trump is just pure hypocrisy. And if I can give you the example on this, he wants to either get government regulations into the Internet search engines or create enough fear in it so that they give him a preferential treatment. Now, the hypocrisy of this comes in is, do you remember Trump University? And he got called on because he didn't know any of the instructors. And eventually he had to refund the students $25 million back.
Right.
Well, 2 days ago on the radio, the man that runs the agency that oversees these kinds of pay for universities, quit saying that Donald Trump and his administration went through and basically gutted the whole situation to where they could no longer go out and effectively oversee these universities. So the hypocrisy is when Donald Trump wants government to work for him, he's all in favor of it. But when Donald Trump finds government doesn't work for him, he's totally and does everything he can to eliminate it. It's pure hypocrisy.
Well, here's I like your take, but here's my take on it. I'm looking at it, and I'm kind of in the same paragraph you are about this is a man who I think I like the fact I don't know all the details of every single solitary regulation that he has reduced, but I think we were way, way, way overregulated. And you talk to most businesses, and they say, please, give me a break. So I think that has helped more than the tax bill to help get the businesses fired up and get going again. So I'm for reducing regulations, not eliminating, but reducing. So if you're for reducing regulations, where I come around to your point of view is, then why does he want to increase regulations in this arena? And besides that, I don't like government sticking their nose into the private sector unless the private sector is violating a law. Leave them alone.
Well, I agree with your position, Tom, but on this particular thing, this thing about students and fees and everything, they're not very knowledgeable on finance at all. They load themselves up with all of these costs.
I know.
It's
criminal.
Long distance.
No, it's criminal. It's criminal. I really do think they should. But I know they're going after the for-profits. I got to tell you, Dave, and I know this gets a little far off on a tangent, but I think they should go after the non-profit. I think they should go after the University of fill in the blank, because they're all doing it to, because
I absolutely
I'm with you,
agree
the,
with you
the,
Tom.
The students don't know.
Universities, whether they're pay or not, say, okay, you're taking this class, you know, you're taking political science or PE. Well, this is what our data shows what you'll be making in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. So they can get an idea that, you know, PE may not be a great money category to go in, where accounting or engineering or something like that is
right.
going to derive some real money. Universities should have that information for them.
And if I may, you and I may disagree on this one, but that guy who quit the other day was from the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau. I think that if you look into that bureau, it was set up to not be answerable to anybody. It's also a place that basically creates a slush fund. They go around fining all kinds of people, and people are wondering, where did the money go? We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I furthermore think it's an extra layer on top of all of the consumer protection agencies that we have. So I understand they're doing some very good things that are popular with a lot of people, but I don't like the structure and I don't like the way they're running it. But I think this whole thing about student loans is next to criminal. They're not using a gun, but they might as well. Along with this is what your degree, this is what the people make in their first year, 3 years, 5 years, whatever. But also put down, this is what your loan is going to cost you in total by the time you pay it back, if you pay it back on schedule. And this is what your average income will be. So show them, okay, you're going to make $5,000 a month, but your loan will be $4,000 a month in payments. You sure you want to do this?
It's that very reason that I guided my children. My son ended up becoming an engineering, and my daughter got a degree in biological chemistry. You can get money for those.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you need to. And I don't want to stop somebody that everybody always uses. Some sort of art history major, but no. I mean, you can get a good job at a museum or someplace, but you got to know that if you really love art history, great, go into it, but know what the financial repercussions are. That's all. before you send these kids off on the dotted line. Dave, thank you. I appreciate your call. Good point about if the president is so good at deregulating, why does he want to regulate? Or I'll ask you even one further question. Is this a diversion topic to basically get you to quit talking about Michael Cohen? Let's talk to John, who's in California. John, welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Thank you so much, Tom. These companies have basically become monopolies on the information highway. They purvey information. They got on the board by offering a quote-unquote free service. Behind the scenes, they were collecting information and then selling it, you know, using it. And that's the way they made money. So if they're taking information across the board equally from every individual, from every company that's buying advertising, what have you, across the board, they're taking and purveying that information. But then they're saying, okay, we don't like this ideology or that idea. We're gonna cut you off. And so it seems to me there's an inequality there because there's information being taken on a system that's essentially become a monopoly. And then they're denying service to people that they just don't like their ideas.
Okay. So the New York Times, what about the New York Times? They are a major, major source of information. People look at them as if they're gospel in many circles. So should we tell the New York Times they need to write different articles? Should we tell Fox News that they should do some anti-Trump stories? I mean, I don't want to get involved in these media, but if you're looking at it like a utility, that opens up that door, but I look at them as they're the media. Maybe that's where the difference lies. All right, got to leave it there. I hear the band. John, thank you. I don't know where this is going, but if they are determined to be a utility, then they're going to have to be regulated like your electric company. Otherwise, let them stand on their own two feet.